The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so welcome back. And now it's going to be an opportunity for you to speak with each other a little bit about this topic. And we'll have, have a chance for breakout groups. I think we'll do groups of three or four of you, so you'll have a chance to meet some other folks. And the question, there are two questions, and I'm actually going to put them together because you can, I think they're easy enough to remember, and you can answer them together and when you're speaking. So they are, what is your current relationship to the suttas? And what feels like it would be a supportive relationship for you at this time? If you want to jot those down, you could. So what is your current relationship and what feels like it would be a supportive relationship for you at this time? Now, that might be the same thing, or it might be an opportunity to say something new you'd like to try or something, something like that. You're each going to have, I prefer that each person gets a chance to kind of speak to this on their own while everyone else listens first, because this is a topic that you may not have really thought about. And so having a stretch of time through which you can start to kind of speak and discover as you're speaking what this relationship is, I think is helpful. So I'm going to send a message at the top when it's time to change to the next person. And if you could, it would be nice if even if the time's not up, let the silence be there. We're all okay with silence as meditators. And in case something else might occur to the person who's speaking, and let them kind of just keep reflecting on the question. And I'll send a little message at the top when you can shift to the next person. So why don't you start with the person whose Zoom name is alphabetically last. So you have to go backwards through the alphabet. That person can start and then just go from there. So what is your current relationship to the suttas and what feels like it would be a supportive one? And you'll have, let's say, about 2.5 minutes, which is a fair amount of time. So you can talk about anything that comes up during that time. And then you'll switch to the next and to the next. And if there's more time at the end, you'll have a chance to talk as a group. Okay. So why don't we go ahead and you know who to start with, and I'll send you a message for the next person. Enjoy. Okay, nice to see everyone. So now, how was that? I'm curious if anybody would like to share anything about what you talked about in the group, or anything that you've realized about your relationship to the suttas. This is a time to share in the larger group. Yeah, David.
So it was interesting having the experience talking with, I love breakout rooms. I teach online and I send my students into breakout rooms. I just find them really dynamic environments. And I was with a lovely group of people. So, and I won't mention names, but what interested me in coming out of it is when you first posed the question, Kim and Dana, about my relationship with the suttas, the first thing that popped to my mind was none, that I don't really pursue it a lot. And then as a result of a comment from someone else about chanting, I realized that I do the refuge chant very often. There are elements of the sutras which I have internalized to the point where I don't even recognize that they're coming from the suttas. So that was really helpful. Yeah. So thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Great. Other comments? More questions? Stephen.
Just a question. Diana, I think you said that there may be as many as 24 or more translations of Dhammapada. Are there any that are sort of considered to be gold standards?
Yeah, this is such a great question. What is a gold standard? So I'll say in my own pursuit of a gold standard, I did look at one that was by Oxford Classic Studies or something like that. But the translators are a pair of translators. One is a Baptist priest and another is a Sri Lankan monk that got together. They're friends, apparently, and they translated this together. And so published by it's not Oxford University Press, but it's something like that. So, and you know what, their names are just slipped my mind. Probably in a moment, it'll come back. This question of gold standards, I don't know. Kim, do you have something to say about this?
Not really about gold standards. I don't know I would say that there are translations that are more within the realm of what seems accurate for what the Pali says, and ones that are less so. But I don't know what the standard is to call it gold. I like to say that there are different aims in translating. I mean, one of them is to translate. There's different levels, right? So you can translate based on literally word for word, and it's a mess. It's terrible translation because Pali and English have different structures. So we can throw that out. Most translators will go for the meaning. You know, then they say, well, what we really want to translate is, what does this text mean? But how do we know what it means? What does it mean it meant something different to people in Iron Age India, which is Buddha lived in the Iron Age, than it does to people in the modern so-called West. So what does it mean to translate the meaning? I know a translator that I respect very much, translator of Tibetan texts, who says, hey, these are sacred texts that are wisdom texts aiming to do what that Tibetan text did to me, is to open the mind literally in the moment. And so he says what you should translate is, you should translate it such that a person reading it in English who is an English speaker would have the same religious experience that a person reading it in Tibetan who is a Tibetan speaker would have. That's a different approach. That's a different lens to how to do a translation. So I don't know. Maybe the standards, what is your standard for what you want to see in the sutta? All of those would be different. So that's maybe one way of talking around your question.
Could I add something? Stephen, I have three books this of the 24, and I read from all three. And so not just one, get a bunch.
You're going to have a chance on the homework to look at a lot of translations of a sutta. I think we're giving you 19 translations of the Metta Sutta. So have a ball.
You may be sorry you asked.
Anything else? Yeah, Anita.
So I just wanted to point out this book. I haven't read it yet. I ordered it. It's called Buddhist Suttas for Recitation. It's by Bhanteji.
Oh, okay.
I got it on Wisdom. So I can't vouch to the how good it is. I haven't even opened it, but.
Okay. Well, Bhanteji is somewhere up in the gold standard. So
right.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, he's a Sri Lankan monk who lives in West Virginia. For those of you who don't know him, Bhavana Society is his monastery. Oh, and here's something. Dawn is giving a resource for practicing sutta reading. That's good. We'll give you some other resources in the homework also.
Okay, well, if there aren't any more comments, maybe we'll move on a little bit. So I want to talk a little bit more about engaging with the suttas. There's a number of ways we can do that. There's an unusual way. This right here are palm leaves Kim is lovely because she sent these to me. We have a friend who has, it's difficult to see, but this is, I think it's bark. This is like wood. And then you can see here are palm leaves that have been etched on, I guess. This was sent to a scholar. So this, you can see, is not in the Roman alphabet. I think it's not Cambodian script. Kim, do you remember what script this is?
It's a form of Thai script, actually, but the language is Pali.
Yes, yeah. And this is the Mangala Sutta. So this, right, you can see, is a sutta. This is believed to be a few hundred years old, and this is how it was. They had these are fragile. These are made out of leaves, right? So they were having to be, and this is India, which is humid and heat, and so it had to be recopied regularly. And these weren't taken off of the palm leaves, and they were actually put in Roman text at the end of the 1800s. So, and yeah, so this is one way. And when Kim was talking about how just the suttas kind of bring us a connection back to, you know, these thousands of years, somehow even just holding this for me makes me, I don't know, feel special in some kind of way. That sometimes we tend to think of suttas as in books, but this is what a book was, quote unquote, right, all those years ago. So just, I don't know, just a view to see, like, okay, this is what, how they were preserved through the years, through the millennia, right? But if, so I'm going to talk about a few ways, if you're interested about the suttas, you don't have to be, there's no requirement, right? You might say, you know, it's not my cup of tea. That's perfectly fine. Kim and I are enthusiasts. You might have guessed. We kind of love this. So some of you may know all of this. It'll be old hat. Maybe some of you will learn a few things. But one is a book. This is called In the Buddha's Words. It's translated by Bhikkhu Bodhi. Often when people ask me, how do I read, you know, this text or that text or something like this? I often tell them, don't read the text, start with this. This is Bhikkhu Bodhi. He's, you know, in my opinion, is the gold standard translator. He's brilliant. I have so much respect for his translations, and Kim is learning Pali from him, right, Kim? So he's just an amazing translator. So this book introduces topics. It has Bhikkhu Bodhi's, a little tiny essay from him, and then it has passages from the suttas all about that topic. So he's done the hard work of kind of going through all the suttas and organizing them and introducing them and all that kind of stuff. So this is something that I can recommend if you feel like you want to have a good old fashioned book. And of course, this is available on Kindle and stuff like that too. So that's one way, is get a book, get Bhikkhu Bodhi's book, and you can start there. I can recommend it. And of course, I'll say this, Bhikkhu Bodhi is this wonderful man. I think he's from somewhere in New York. He has a little bit of an accent. It's very endearing. His name is, despite his name, that's his ordained name. He's an American. And he's been a monk maybe, I don't know, 50 years now, 60 years now. So that's his orientation, right? He's a monastic. He's devoted his whole entire life to this. So the language that he chooses has that orientation. So I'd also like to share some resources that are online. Maybe you just want to dabble or click around, or maybe not a book or something like this. So I'd like to share my screen again. And this first one, this first resource, it just became available just in the past few years. It's kind of pretty amazing. And it was only really steady or stable maybe in the last 2 years. Before that, it was kind of a little bit, I'll use this word wonky or something like this. But you guys can see this, right? Thumbs at the Sutta Central. Yes. Okay. So there are a few things about this website. It's suttacentral.net. Not too difficult. Early Buddhist texts, translations, and parallels. So they are bringing in different translations, not only English translations, but every language that you can imagine. So Asian languages and other European languages, and parallels. So we haven't really talked about this yet, but texts are preserved in Pali, and they have the Pali canon. And then there were texts that were also preserved in Sanskrit. And they're very similar, but they're not exactly the same. And the Sanskrit got lost, but before it got lost, it got translated into Chinese. So we have the Chinese versions of what was originally in Sanskrit. And so this is a place that compares them. But if you're curious, like what, okay, there's this website now, what do you do with this? Here's one thing that's kind of fun, is that they just take one line just to kind of pique your interest, and you can go and read that sutta. So that's just one thing. If you feel like it, go check out Sutta Central and see what they have. And then they have where to begin. They have this, if you click on this, get started, there's all kinds of great resources there because, you know, the Pali Canon's giant and lots of people are trying to find different ways in. So this is great if you want to go there. Keep on scrolling. We'll also find, here's a little bit that talks about the three baskets. These are what I just showed you. This is a fancy version of what I just showed you. But they also have reader's guide and indexes. So if you're interested in some particular topic, you could scroll down here and there are indexes of subjects. They also, you can see, have index of similes. This is kind of fun to look at what are like all these evocative pictures or something like this, and names and terminology, so a glossary. Not a very sophisticated dictionary, but a kind of a glossary here. So, folks, so here's the index of subjects. And just for example, I'm going to click on Q, questions. And so here is, it points to where are the different suttas that you can find that have to do with a particular topic. So if you wanted to, you could go this way as kind of as a way in. Did somebody ask a question that I missed? No. Okay. So so Sutta Central has all these tremendous resources. It's really, really great. I'm now going to click the back button and scroll back up to the top. So here I am. Here, some people in the upper left here call this like the hamburger menu. They have the actual suttas. And the way they organize them maybe is not as intuitive, perhaps, if you're not so familiar with them. It's all there. But Kim, I think this is right. Yeah, one time you made a video, right, of how to navigate Sutta Central. So maybe, Kim, you could point us to that or something as part of that handout or something. Or so under suttas here, the long, middle, linked, numbered, minor, and other. And we were looking at Majjhima 63. Some of you may know that's middle length. It's the Majjhima Nikaya. This is the Majjhima Agama. This is the Chinese parallel I was just talking about. And here's other ones. So you're the Majjhima. And then these words, if you don't know Pali, it's a little complicated, but root 50, middle 50, and we could say upper 50. The number 63 is the middle 50. And then we could click here between 61 and 70. And then go through here, and here's Majjhima 63. And you can see here's Bhikkhu Sujato, Bhikkhu Bodhi, which you guys read, and I.B. Horner. And it's unfortunate that they put 2017. I.B. Horner was translating in the 1940s. So it just happened that their latest, it got reprinted, and I don't know why they put 2017. So Sutta Central, fantastic resource. It's amazing. It's amazing. The type of stuff this is here, this type just didn't exist even like maybe just a few years ago. And just about a work of pulling this together. And I'll say also, one edition of the root text. So they have the Pali here, for those of you who are interested in Pali, and three parallels in ancient texts. So Sanskrit versions, Tibetan versions, all this kind of stuff. So scholars, and even if you're not a scholar. So suttacentral.net. Go there, you can have some fun. That's one place. And then there's another place that's kind of like this. That's it's very much like this, but has different translations and additional things. And that is Access to Insight. So that, here we go. So if I go to this tab, this is another free resource. It's on the web, Readings in Theravada Buddhism. And one thing that's different about Access to Insight is that it has essays and study guides and things like that. So it's not just suttas. The Tipitaka is, that's one word for the Pali Canon. And it says, translations of more than 1,000 important suttas from the Pali Canon indexed by sutta, subject, proper name, simile, translator. And then here's the different suttas for those of you who are familiar with these translations, Digha Nikaya, Majjhima Nikaya, Samyutta Nikaya, Anguttara Nikaya, Kutika Nikaya. So how is this different than Sutta Central? Different translator. For the most part, this is Tinisaro Bhikkhu, an amazing, prolific translator. Probably many of you are familiar. Again, we'll go to Majjhima 63. Here's Majjhima Nikaya. We'll just scroll down, scroll, scroll, scroll. So unlike Sutta Central, where you have to click, click, click here, you scroll. And here it is. He gives a two-sentence summary, and Tinisaro is the translator. Let's see if I can see here. Sometimes they have other translators. So one thing about Access to Insight is it's only those suttas that Tinisaro Bhikkhu, Ajahn, or Tonjev, Ajahn Jeff, he has these different names. It's whichever ones he chose to translate. So not everything is here. The Sutta Central is more complete. So it's fantastic to just come here and to, you can read this version, this translator. So Sutta Central has mostly Bhikkhu Sujato, sometimes Bhikkhu Bodhi, and Access to Insight has Tinisaro Bhikkhu. And this, and maybe one last thing I'll say about this, just like Sutra Central, that if I go back, one more, there's all these indexes also, so that you can find things if you're interested in an idea, or if you have something that you want to look up, it's something you can do. So I just offer this. Good old-fashioned book, too, if you want to do this. If you want to just do a free resource and click around and be a little bit curious. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll say one last thing that is really special about Access to Insight that I want to point out. We'll go back to that sutta, Majjhima 63. Here's the Majjhima, and I'm scrolling down, finding 63. Then I click on this. Here's the whole sutta. Here's something that's really fantastic. You read, read, read. See also this one with a link. So then you could go, oh, what does this one say? And you click on this. Oh, I don't know this sutta, Kalika Sutta. And you can read this one. See also, blah, 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 right? So this is really the internet at its best, that it can allow these different things to be linked and to really flesh out an idea. Most of it, not all of it, most of it is one translator. So we were looking at different translations, but here you can look at different texts that are having to do with similar topics. So I think with that, I'll stop sharing. Maybe some of you already knew some of this, but it's I'll just humbly offer, instead of doom scrolling, sometimes we find ourselves reading bad news, you know, like this. Flip over to Sutra Central, Access to Insight, and maybe it'll, I don't know, support you in some way or ignite something inside of you. So now we're getting to the last time of our time together today. And I would just like to open it up in general to questions or comments or anything you'd like to share. Oh, yes, Stephen, to everyone. Translations by Pia Tan. Dharma Fair. Yes, he has it right there. Great, thank you. So that's a third difference. That's a third site. Pia Tan, he is fantastic that his suttas are annotated. He has lots of footnotes and, oh, go look, read this scholarly paper, or this translator does it differently, or something like that. So he has a little bit more of an academic bent, with lots of footnotes. If you love footnotes, he's the guy. Dawn.
I'm just wondering what the relationship is between Access to Insight and the Dhamma talks.
Mm.
Is it being converted over, or is, or, yeah.
It's just the person that was, who started Access to Insight, his name slips my mind at this moment. I'm sure somebody knows. Retired just maybe a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. And he said, you know what? I'm not passing it on. I'm just going to archive. It's just going to be, it's going to stay this way. It's going to, and then Tan Jeff, who's 90% his translations, maybe 95%, said, well, you know, some things are getting updated. So that's why things go over to Tan Jeff's site. And then I think within the last year, I think BCBS has started to enliven Access to Insight again. So I think you saw that link on there that said go to dhammatalks.org. I think that's a worthwhile thing to do. I myself don't have as much familiarity with that, and I can't tell you what difference there is now between dhammatalks.org and Access to Insight. I don't know if others know that. So it's just that one person retired and yes, Kim.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anna, for some texts, there are updates at Dhamma Talks, but sometimes you'll also find a little bit more information, or sometimes even more footnotes at Access to Insight. So I like to look at both.
Great, thank you.
Because I think Dhamma Talks, I think, is only Tenisro Bhikkhu's, right? I think that's the only thing that's there, whereas Access to Insight has other translators.
Let's have other ones, yeah.
Anybody else have a comment or a question about anything we've talked about tonight?
Yeah, Sheila.
Thank you so much for creating the space for this to happen. I appreciate the time and effort that you've put into this. I'm not connected with a Sangha until now. So thank you.
Nice. Well, maybe we could just say, oh, go ahead, Diana, you were.
Oh, I was just going to comment about how lovely it is to be with a Sangha, to practice with others. I was just going to echo that. It's such a fun thing to share the teachings. And this is how, like, Kim and I teaching together really started, is because we both love the suttas, and we would just, I don't know, with some of our friends, and sometimes just the two of us talk about things. And like, wow, we should share this with others, kind of our enthusiasm and our love of this. So that's why we're here. Chris.
I have found, coming back to practice sometime about March, that this has been one of the benefits of this having to isolate, is it's brought me in touch with such a wide range of practitioners throughout the United States and Europe. The immediacy of just not having to get in a car and drive or fly or whatever, it's really just sort of enlightened, brought out a larger practice. It's pretty amazing. I wanted to also just add on, Kim brought up Joseph Goldstein's book on mindfulness, and I listened to those lectures through Dharma Seed. How many times have I read the Satipatthana Sutta, yada, yada. And yet recently I just bought that book, and it's quite remarkable. You can have a question about Dharma and just go to it, and it's there, and in a very detailed way, and yet very honest and open way. It's not rigid at all in the way it describes it. So it's worth having on wherever you keep your books. It's been great. I mean, I have it right over there. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, I'm looking at mine. Probably Kim can probably turn and look at hers too. Yes.
I've also been enjoying Gil's talks on the Anapanasati Sutta, and there's so much cross-reference. And in fact, both of them just support each other, both those sutras. So.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Chris. And I also want to say, you know, Kim and I have a certain orientation. We kind of love the books and poking around in there. That's not the only way. Just because we're talking about it, it's perfectly fine. If you're like, you know, that's not really my cup of tea. I want to meditate, hear Dharma talks, or whatever it might be. That's perfectly fine too. We just kind of wanted to share our enthusiasm.
I see David and Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Okay, just a quick question then. Sorry, Elizabeth. So I'm just curious if this is how the workshop on Thursdays, is it primarily focused on working with the suttas? Is that the primary, or is that just an aspect we're talking about today, and other subsequent workshops will explore different areas of the practice or of Buddhist studies? So I'm just curious what the orientation of this workshop is. So.
Yeah, so the overall idea is that the first two sessions, last week and this week, are focused on tools that one can use in bringing the Dharma into life. And so we talked about inquiry and and questioning last time. And this time was a particular focus on the suttas, partly because you don't get that very often in these classes. So we thought, let's just do it. But the other four coming up will not be kind of tool oriented like this. We're now going to turn toward major topics of training in Buddhism and how we can bring them into our whole life. So next week is about ethics and relationship. And the week after that is about samadhi and heart practices, and then wisdom, and then awakening. So we have sila, samadhi, panya, and nibbana as the next four areas. Hopefully that's inspiring.
That's fantastic. It's very juicy. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to the workshop.
And we'll be, of course, using the tools that we've learned up to now to apply to all of those areas and how we can enrich our Dharma life.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to say that, I guess, going into this today, I didn't think that I was going to relate so much to the suttas, and I just feel so inspired. And I think people in my group, I heard it too. We talked about it a lot, about feeling inspired by the exercises today. And I'm just like literally like really like excited to go and find something to chant or to, you know, drop into meditation. So just great, wonderful, exciting teachings. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
It's something that Kim and I were talking about during the break is that, you know, not everything that you find in the suttas is, I'll just say that I'm not sure I agree with everything. Like, what? Wait, really? For me, I've chosen like, okay, well, this is the tradition I'm going to engage with and argue with and be questioned by. And, you know, it doesn't mean that I have this heartfelt connection, but I'm not leaving behind my discernment and rational thinking or stuff like that. So I just say that as you might, if when you dip your toes in some of these suttas, you might find yourself going, whoa, I never heard that in a Dharma talk.
I wanted to say they make good bedtime stories. They do. And your mind is quiet and it's a good time to read a sutta right before you go to sleep.
Nice. Thank you, Lisa. Yeah.
Maybe Anne, and then that'll be the last.
Just a quick note. Unfortunately, I don't have the, the website, but I remember there's a wonderful website where Ajahn Jeff and Gil Fronsdell and a number of the female practitioners all read the suttas, and they have it broken down by the different readers, and it's just a wonderful, yeah. If you don't feel like reading yourself, you can just sit there and listen, and I really enjoy those.
I know that site and I've forgotten the name of it offhand. Yeah. If anyone remembers, please share. But yeah, there's places you can listen. And that's not chanting, it's just the suttas being read. Diana reads suttas sometimes too. You're not on that site, are you?
No. But I've read almost the whole Majjhima.
Okay, well, in honor of our time, maybe we'll finish off and just I'll send an email. Somebody asked if we could gather the links that have been shared. So there were a bunch in the chat, and we'll try to do that. I think the chat gets captured. Plus, we have a couple of suggested readings and exercises, and we look forward to seeing you next week for ethics and relationship, an important topic these days.
Yeah.
Be well. Have a great week.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful to see you guys. You can unmute if you'd like.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Sangha.
Yes. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Be well.
Bye. Be well.
Bye.
Thank you so much.